So there are, at least in principle, many types of memory architectures. So here we're effectively discussing shared memory machines, and there are, in the formal classification, two types of memory access times. The thing you'd like to have is uniform memory access, which is that every memory location takes the same time to access. So that's called UMA, U-M-A, or uniform. Now, the only machine that is currently available which has that property, which is large, I mean, if you go to a shared memory system from Sun where you have a bus, you effectively have uniform memory access. The problem is you can only put a modest number of machines on the bus, so it doesn't scale. So there is a clever machine from Burton Smith, who is in Seattle with a company called Terra, which has uniform memory access. However, it is unproven because the cost he's had to pay to get uniform memory access is to violate all the rules, because he's had to build his own memory structure, his own processors, and his own compilers. So it violates this principle of using consumer technology. And so, although he has a system which is scalable and has uniform memory access, whether it's competitively priced is not so obvious, and he's just, I think, delivering his first system to the San Diego supercomputer at this moment. And so there's a lot of interest in those machines because they are quite elegant. But whether they're practical and work and really deliver on their promises is unproven. So apart from that, essentially every system, shared memory system, is non-uniform memory access. And the reason it's non-uniform memory access is just life. Namely, that's natural. Because when you put memory, if you have a lot of memory, which is physically in different places and with different memory controllers, the only way that one processor can talk to a memory that's, inverted commas, far away is by going through additional hardware and additional distance. And remember, the speed of light is whatever it is, a nanosecond a foot. So that says that it takes several nanoseconds to cross even a modest sized parallel computer. And so as clock speeds are themselves just a few nanoseconds these days, that says that it takes the physical reasons why memory, just the speed of light or the speed of electrons, which is less than the speed of light, ensures that you cannot, that memory far away must take longer than memory that's near to you. But more importantly, it's just the overhead. You're going to have hardware, switches, and controllers, and bus arbitrators. And you have got to go from off-chip, you've got to go from chip to off-chip, back to chip again, and all these things cost time and hardware. And so you will always find that any natural design has non-uniform memory access. The only reason Burton Smith can get uniform memory access is by effectively slowing everybody down, but then have a clever strategy involving multiple threads so that everybody actually looks as though they're running fast, but actually he's slowing everybody down so that they all go at the slowest speed. Any natural design is bound to have non-uniform memory access. And as you go to these amusing computers built from systems around the world, it's going to get worse and worse, because then you're certainly going to have effects from the speed of light. And you're going to have even more effects and more controllers. You have to go through FDDI or ATM switches. I mean, those all add overhead, which is memory access time. Now, if you take a carefully designed parallel computer like the SP2 or the Cray T3D, there are really only two memory access times. There's the local memory access the memory on your machine, and then there's access the memory from any other computer. There is really no difference between if you have a 128 node SP2 and you sit on one processor, the memory on the other 127 looks as though it has the same access time. As you go to higher performance systems, as we go towards petaflop performance 10 years from now, that will not be true. Because of the physical dimension problems and stuff like that, you will have lots of memory access times. You'll start seeing the physical structure of the computer. But today, where you only have, like on the SP2, the clock speeds, sort of 100 nanosecond type range, 10 nanosecond type range, so 100 megahertz, effectively each processor looks the same. And the switching technology that people use makes all processors look the same, unless they're the local processor. So essentially a NUMA machine has two memory access times, on processor or off processor. That was when we were doing the Hypercube 15 years ago, that was different because we were using whatever is store and forward messaging. So as the letter, I mean, it's sort of like U.S. Postal Service, at least in sort of 1,000 miles from here, you have one-day deliveries wherever you are. So we have, if you like, in Syracuse, you have a two-memory access time, roughly. Time in Syracuse is sort of 30 minutes or less, because you can always drive anywhere in 30 minutes. And then if you need a letter to anybody else, that's one day, so two times. So that's like today's parallel machines. In the old hypercubes, the way we had to send messages from one node to another was by passing it through intermediate routing chips, and the total transit time was equal to the number of routing chips that went through, and so there was a distance which was actually equal to the distance in the hypercube, which was the transit time. So the memory access time was linear in the transit time through the network. So early networks had that property that the access time was dependent on the network topology. But today's networks do not have that structure. They use wormhole routing and circuit switch technology, which gives essentially uniform access time for everybody outside the current processor.